I was the head, I was chief inspector for final inspection, let me put it like that, that's okay. Easier. And so I take one of the gun turns down one day, and I'm, because you had to check about one out of every 10 to be sure. And I get it down, I set it up, and I put the ammunition, and I start firing, and 20 millimeter cannon jumps right up and goes up.
Oh, jeez.
So about 2 hours later, a little old gray-haired lady walked in the office. She said, "These belong to you?" Not my office, but the office of the president. And I said, "Well, gun mount jumped. That's all I can tell you." I said, "Jumped," and I said, before I could get my hands out of it, I said, 6 shells went out. Mm-hmm. She was in her garden. 6 shells come down.
Oh, jeez. You mean you were shooting out the window? Or?
No, I'm shooting at a target.
Oh, I'm with you.
But when a 20 millimeter jumps...
Oh, I understand.
Cannon jumped. She went up. And she went right...
Oh, and
boom.
It was a trajectory.
She's about 2 miles away, and she's come down. Boy, I'm telling you.
I'm with you, okay.
And she walks in, she's a little grayer lady, walks in, she... Is this blonde here? 20 millimeter cannon slug, you know.
Uh-huh.
So Julian comes in to me. He was the president. I said, "What happened?" I said, "Well, I took it down to test fire. I said, I squeezed the triggers. First thing I know, the starboard mount jumps. Up she went. And before I could release it, I said, evidently 6 shells got loose." I said, "I didn't know about that." Well, anyway, I worked there that year. And then I said, "Well, hell, if I'm 4F, I'm going to
play ball.
I'm going to play ball." Mm-hmm. So I went back. I went back to playing baseball. And I guess they never needed me because nobody ever called again. I wish they had it.
But what did you do in the off season then, 44? Well, by the end of the 45 season, it was all over. But
in the 44, I worked in a sporting goods store.
Mm-hmm.
And
where? You remember?
Here in New Brunswick.
I see.
Yes. And 45, I did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, let's discuss some of the players in that 45 team. Let's start with the pitchers. What do you remember about Boo Ferris? Of course, I know he set an American League record for consecutive scoreless innings at the start of a career. And
Boo Ferris is one of the most determined, and I'm talking about my roommate. I mean, he's one of my roommates too. Most determined, and one of the best pitchers I ever seen. The best sinker ball I think I've ever seen.
No kidding. Now was this fast one a natural sinker like say Jim Lomborg?
Yeah. He was a natural sinker ball.
Mm-hmm.
He was big. University of Mississippi. I guess where Boo come out. We still. They exchange Christmas cards and everything.
Good.
But I mean,
good.
It's he was a great pitcher.
I understand he had trouble with asthma. He used to have to.
He
take
did.
A
yes.
Now,
yes.
Being his
that he did.
Tell me about it. I mean, was this a real battle for him to?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, he had to. He had to be very careful.
Mm-hmm.
But talking about ability, he really had it. That rascal. He'd go out there and he'd give you 100%. I don't care if he was dying on his feet, he'd give you 100%.
Was he a physically strong person?
Oh!
I mean, he was
6'4" and 215 or 20 pounds.
Yes.
Stand out there and fire that ball all day long.
Mm-hmm.
He was great. Great.
What about the one-man ball team, Mike Reba? I understand he was a tough customer, too.
Mike? Oh, well, he was... Mike was an old-timer. He'd been there a long time. The transition of playing with those guys and looking at these guys today, this is This is nothing. This is
really?
Mike Brabe.
The quality of play has gone down.
I think it's way down. I think it's way down. If a guy like Meatball from New York Yankees can get $52,000 for hitting .202 and playing shortstop, there's got to be something wrong with the game.
Gene Michael?
Yeah.
Okay.
My wife dies. Every time she sees his salary, she dies. Because I never even been near him anyway.
What was your salary at 45, do you remember?
My salary at 45? $7,500.
That's good. I know the Red Sox paid well.
Tom Yogi is one of the greatest guys in the world.
Really?
Yeah. Best. Best.
What about Cronin?
Cronin's a... Papa Joe, I got to go a little against him.
Oh, really? Well, tell me why.
He did quite a few bad things, really. He played favorites. He played good favorites because at that time you had a lot of good ball players around. I mean, you couldn't, like today, you've got all these clubs. I mean, anybody can make a big, good club today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, you couldn't. You had to spend your time down learning your trade.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come up there, like me, I come into, when I come back to spring training at 46, I'm running into a door. And Pesky, Tabor, and Junie Andrews. I mean, you don't run into guys like that.
Mm-hmm.
Today you wouldn't run into anybody like that.
Right.
So I hit 257. And Papa Joe tells me, he says, you got to go back to the minor leagues and learn how to hit. I hit 257. I was hitting 257.
Mm-hmm.
You got to learn to hit. So I trundled back to Louisville and I learned how to hit.
Mm-hmm.
So I hit over 300 down there for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Then I come back, and then, of course, the boys come back from over 9 now. Your problems will multiply because you got the stars coming back.
Sure.
I mean, Bobby Doerr, to me, was a premier second baseman. Pesky.
A good hitter, though. 200 plus a year, I mean.
Yeah, he was a good hitter. I'm not going to take that away from John. I like John, really. But, and you got Junie Andrews and those guys that they're coming up to, you know. I mean, it's tough to run those guys out of jobs. And you only got 8 teams.
But what happened in 46? I know you played only 3 games. Were they at the beginning of the year or the end of the year?
That was a mistake. That was the beginning of the year.
Okay. And then you were sent out again. You were farmed out to Louisville.
Well, I guess you have to... I was traded to...
Detroit.
And then the trade went to Billy Goodman to come up for me.
No kidding. And I
went to Atlanta. Yeah.
That
was the deal.
Well, no, wait a minute. Who did you see, played for the Crackers when, in 46 or 47?
No, in 48.
Oh.
48.
Okay. Because I noticed that the encyclopedia said you played 1 game for the Tigers in 47. I was
that's right.
There.
Yeah, and then I was sent back for one reason. Skeeter Webb needed one more year, and he was Steve O'Neill's son-in-law, and he needed one more year to get his pension.
Okay.
And Steve O'Neill called me in at his office. Ben, he says, I bought you all in good faith, he says, but if it comes down between you and Skeeter, he says, and Skeeter's married to my daughter, he says, I gotta send you back to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you can blank this anyway. And I says, that's a hell of a goddamn thing. I says, I led this goddamn team in it in the whole goddamn spring. And that's the year that Al Kaline come up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the year I told all the outfielders, I said, one of you guys are going because this guy is going to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And Roy Cullum lined that whole bunch, they said.
Yeah.
I said, I'll bet you these days, I said, this girl, that girl, he could swing that bat, he could run, he could throw, he could catch. I said, this guy will stay, man.
So then you played three games in 46, then went back to Louisville, and then in 47 you were with Atlanta.
I was with Detroit in spring training. Mm-hmm. I played the one game, mm-hmm. and then they sent me back to Atlanta. I played with Atlanta. Kai Kyler was the manager. Mm-hmm. And we won everything down there. The one of the finest men I met in baseball was Earl Mann, who was president of the Atlanta Ball Club. Mm-hmm. He gave me $10,000 of the purchase price that Detroit had bought me for.
It's mm-hmm. fine.
And paid.
That's excellent.
And paid for everything. My wife got to see New Orleans. He paid it. Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful man.
Let's talk about a few of the other pitchers. What kind of a guy was Emmett O'Neill?
Oh, Emmett? Oakland. Emmett was big, fast, and sometimes a little bit wild, but he could really throw. He really could, yeah. Yeah, he really could.
What about Yank Terry?
Oh, he was good. Good curveball. Good curveball, yeah.
Curve was his good pitch?
Yeah.
And Barrett?
I thought you were going to ask me about Joe Dobson. I really did.
I don't think Dobson was there in 45. I just want to stick to the men who were there in 45. But I think there was a pitcher named Red Barrett. There were two Red Barretts.
Oh, right. Yeah, I know. Yeah, right. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. Yeah, Red was good. He had a good slider.
What kind of a guy was he?
Oh, he was a nice guy, yeah, Red. Yeah, I remember him now. Now you're jogging me now.
Right, well, that's what I'm trying to do. How about Jim Wilson? He was a rookie that year, and I think he got hurt, didn't he? Didn't he get a concussion?
He got a kid that owns the, he played for the Yankees. Gil McDougal. Hit him right there. Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Didn't you have another pitcher named Vic Johnson?
Left-hander. Yeah.
What kind of a guy was
he? Yeah, what's a left-hander? I mean, let's put it straight. A left-hander's a left-hander.
Are you crazy?
Yeah. Good curveball.
Yeah.
And a pretty good fastball. I mean, tricky. He's not getting left-hander. I'm a left-handed hitter, so I gotta say that. I goddamn left-handers. They sidearm you.
Yeah. Was he a jump thrower?
I would put Vic, yeah, in class for jump throw. I really would.
I see.
I really would.
All right.
But he had, his fastball was good and his curveball was good, but he's slow and up and he screwball every now and then and
turn one over and
yeah.
The wet one.
Yeah. they all did it. What the heck? Uh-huh. Who the kids?
Yeah, I'm sure they did. Adolph Camilli, who of course had been a star with the Dodgers, came back to play with the Red Sox in 45. Do you have any special memories of him?
Oh, yes.
As a player, as a person?
As a player and a person. One of the finest. A fine person, I would say. I shouldn't say one of the finest. I mean the finest, but He was a great ball player, mm-hmm. and as fine a guy as you'd ever want to meet any place. I mean, you couldn't beat him any way you wanted to do it. He's a great guy.
What about George Mankiewicz, or the catfish?
Catfish.
You mentioned him earlier. I understand he was a ladies' man. That's what Jim Luker said. He enjoyed the women.
He got a lot of guts.
Really? No, he just mentioned that in passing, that he was a single man and enjoyed going out afterwards.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, catfish. Kind of, catfish, I guess, was about the point where he didn't really get everything out of his ability. Because he could hit that ball 9 miles. They figured he was going to be another Williams, really.
Really? Why not? I mean, did he just fritter his time? He wasted himself?
He didn't continue to study and do things like Williams would have done, you know. He just wasn't that way. But he was a good hitter. He really was. Could run, and he could throw. I mean, from the outfield, he was a great... He should have been a real great ball player, and he just... I didn't let it get away from him, I guess. I mean, it's one of those things that happen. I mean, happens so many times where you see a great ball player that can't cut it. But he had it all. He could hit left-handers, he'd right-handers. I mean, he was left-handed hitter. Did Jim tell you where he got that name, Catfish?
I'm trying to remember. I think he did. Go ahead and tell me again, though, in case he didn't. I'll have to go back and listen to the tape.
He had a pair of soft-shoed steps on a catfish out in Bradenton, fishing off the bridge.
Yeah.
And catfish talon went right through there and whack! Hit you right in the foot. That's where he got.
Really?
No, that's where he got the name.
I mean,
catfish.
The catfish bit right through the shoe.
The catfish didn't. That you know, you got to be careful when you pick those rascals up. They got those two horns going out.
Right. So one of the
that went right smack through there and right through his foot. I mean, that's where he got the name catfish.
Holy,
that's when they all started calling catfish.
Oh, jeez. That's tremendous. Now, you divided the second base job with Skeeter Newsom. I understand he was from the South and rather soft-spoken. What do you remember about Skeeter?
Oh, Skeeter's very nice.
Was he?
Yeah, Skeeter's a very nice guy. Oh, I didn't divide it with him. I had it when I started out. Yeah,
I
was 45 when I started out. I had the job.
I see.
It was mine.
Uh-huh.
I hit a home run the first time, first game in Yankee Stadium. I had the job. It was mine.
No kidding. Fine.
Yeah.
What about...
Skeeter. Skeeter was playing shortstop at the time, too.
I see.
Yeah.
What about Johnny... was it Johnny Tobin? I think he was up just for 45. He played third.
You're going to have to cut this one out, but I'm going to tell you.
All right. Okay, now you say you were sent back. Were you sent back before the 45 season ended?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I see. So you were sent out to Louisville before the 45 season.
Hey, I went back. I went back, and we went into the Junior World Series.
So when were you sent back? In what month? Do you remember? Okay, now Carlin's remark about batting 257 makes sense now. I thought that was 46. It wasn't. It was 45.
No.
Then in 46, you were sent to Atlanta.
No, no.
Or was that Louisville too?
No, no. No, in 45 I went back and they played, they sent me back to become a third baseman.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went back and I played third. And I went to spring training in 46 as a third baseman. And I stayed there.
I thought you spent the whole 45 season with Boston.
No.
Mm-mm. Okay.
No, I got to.
Okay, what about Eddie Lake? I understand he had a good arm.
Great. Oh, beautiful.
Hooker said that he had a bullet arm.
That little son of a gun, he did. He threw shotguns across that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What kind of a person was he?
Oh, real nice guy. Real nice guy, yeah. He was as fine a guy as you could ever want to meet.
Fine.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the outfielders. How about Culberson?
Leon?
Leon, yeah.
Leon was a good Georgia boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was friendly with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
He was and he was a real nice guy.
Mm-hmm. Were there any outstanding characteristics of his play?
Oh, the only thing I can say about Leon was a good outfielder, and he was a pretty good hitter. And that ballpark up there in Boston, he was a real good hitter because he could pull that ball. If you can pull that ball in Boston...
Oh, so
right,
he batted to the right side.
Yeah.
I see.
If you can pull that ball in Boston, you got to make...
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
just knock them off the wall.
Knock them off the wall, knock them over that wall. I mean, and he was good. But he was a good... He was a good outfielder. A good, strong arm. And he could hit in other ballparks, too. It, you know, what makes tough to make these assumptions is the fact that, you know, look at baseball today, and you look back then when it was all channeled into 8 teams or 16 teams, let's call it. And now they got 24 or something. There's a lot of people that would never have been there. I mean, you had to make your way. And but Leon was a, I'll say this, he was a good athlete. Good athlete. And he was a darn good hitter. I'd say today he'd probably hit around 290, 300, 310. Even though he only hit 260, 270 then. I'd say he would be. And he could run, and he could throw. He had a good arm.
What about Johnny Lazor?
Oh, Johnny. Oh, Johnny. He's the most underrated guy that they ever had. I don't know where John was born, but I think he was in like Coalfields out here in Pennsylvania someplace. But he could do the job. He could just do the job. He was just...
He had all the tools?
Everything. He could just...
Player.
Yes, he was. I watched him before I ever got into baseball. He was with the Athletics. Big, strong, good hitter. What can I say more on a Jimmy Fox type? He was just a big, strong, good hitter. I mean, you get that ball by him, you were lucky. They did, but a lot of times he fooled them. He was just a good hitter.
How about Pete Fox? I know he was a veteran who was in that.
Oh, outfield. Pete Fox, Wayne.
Did he still have his skills even at that late date?
Yeah, he did. He could hit all over that ball field. I mean, just wherever you wanted to throw it. See, those men were craftsmen. I mean, they just didn't excel in one thing. They did everything. And Pete was a great outfielder. And he was a darn good hitter because he could hit and run, he could pull the ball, he could do anything he wanted with that bat, to maneuver that bat. And this is what it took then. You had to be able to maneuver that bat, and he could do it. And he did it just every day. I mean, you didn't think about him because he was going to do it. I mean, it's this type of man he was.
I see. How about Tommy McBride? Texan.
Tommy. Tommy had a bad habit of. He thought he was going to hit a home run every time he walked up there.
Did he overswing, or was it just an attitude?
No, it was an attitude and an overswing. He just thought he was going to hit the ball out of the ballpark. And you don't do that.
And when he didn't, he get down on himself? Or?
Yeah, he did. I'll be honest with you, he did. He got down on himself. He go a few games and go great, and then when he started to go bad, and he just start. So Papa Joe had to take him out and sit him down for a little while, and then when he went back in, he'd go good again.
How about the catcher, Scar Bark? I know there were two brothers. I think it was Bob who caught for the Red Sox.
And Mike caught for the Yankees.
What kind of a fellow was Bob Carbark?
Oh, he was a very nice guy. What was between him and
Holden? I think Holden was one of the catchers.
Yeah, and, but Wagner. Wagner was the first string catcher. Garbach was, he was the backup man. I mean, that's about all he can say about it.
I wanted to ask you where you lived in Boston. Did you have any trouble with gas rationing, getting to and from home games, or did you live fairly close to the park?
No, I live right almost next door to Kenmore Square, so I didn't have any.
You remember
problem.
The name of the hotel?
Kenmore Hotel.
Oh! You were in the Kenmore Hotel.
Yeah.
I see. Fine. Do you have any interesting stories about travel restrictions, or was train travel pretty flexible by the time 1945 rolled around?
In 1945, it got to be it got to be pretty good because we always had our own car.
Mm-hmm.
I was usually tied on the tailgate of some train going someplace, but we mostly had our own car. We didn't have any problem.
Mm-hmm. So you don't really have any interesting stories about train rides and during the war.
I could tell you a million interesting story about train rides. I mean, like sitting out on the end of the train with Bill McGowan and Bill Summers. They were umpires in American League.
Mm-hmm.
And talking to them about decisions they made.
Okay.
And that's all you got to do is start questioning.
I understand McGowan was good.
Oh, great.
But he didn't take any nonsense.
Oh, nothing.
Lou Dura, the Athletics, felt he was the best in American League.
Oh, he was something else again. I mean, he was very fair. He was a nice guy. But when Ed Larson was standing out there behind that plate and that mask on, buddy, he was the boss, saying, "You better believe it." he told Papa Joe, Joe broke his leg sliding into third base. And he's getting on him one day up there in Boston. And he walked over there, and you can strike this out. I know you can rub it out. He said, "You Irish son of a bitch." He said, "Stick your head out of that dugout, and you're gone." Papa Joe just sit right there. He'd say nothing, because he knew that McGowan would throw him.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, like that. He'd throw him.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd get a cast on his leg. But he knew McGowan would throw him.
No kidding.
Yeah. I had a funny thing happen to me opening day in Washington, which was my hometown. I have to call it that because I moved in from Virginia into Washington.
Mm-hmm.
When I got out of junior high school. And Rick Farrell was catching for the Senators.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody, they had an argument about something. I don't know what they were arguing about. I walked up there. First time I was up. Threw a ball just about the top of my hat. He said, "Strike one." So I backed out. I already knew about his reputation.
Who was this now?
Bill McGowan.
Okay.
The umpire. And I knew about his reputation. So I stepped out and picked up some dirt out of my hands. I said, "Mr. McGowan," I said, "that's a strike in the American League." I says, "I ain't going to be here too long." He said, "Shut up, Bush. Get back in there."
Good story. Good story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I get back in there, and it was Ray Scarborough was pitching. He threw a curveball right over the middle of the plate. And I took it. And he says, "Ball one." He says, "Now, Bush, you're even. Get out of here. And you say something, Farrell, you're out of here."
Okay, fine.
You know?
Very good.
It was great.
He was boss.
It was great. I mean,
yeah.
You know, the pitch fooled me, really. I wasn't looking for a curveball.
Yeah.
Well, he got me one. You know, try to slide another one in there.
Right.
Bang. Took a curveball, and I just took it. All one. He says, "Now, Bush, you're even. Start from here." That's the first time I went to the plate in American League. I mean, that's the type of guy he was.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know.
Tell me about your home run in Yankee Stadium. Was it on opening day?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, was it the Red Sox opening game or just the opening game for the Yankees? In other words, you said Washington.
Opening game for the Yankees.
All right. In other words, the Red Sox played Washington in the opener, and then went to Yankee Stadium, or what?
No, we played Yankees and went to Washington.
Oh, I'm with you. Okay.
Somebody else, I forget who opened.
So the opening day was in New York, and you hit a homer that day.
Yeah.
Who was it off of?
You're going to date me now. Atley Donald.
Okay.
And I had seen him as a rookie when he first came to the Yankees. He won 16 games in a row. Mm-hmm. And I went up to hit against him, and I think, oh, boy. What am I going to do with this guy? I'd seen him 16 games in a row about 10, 12 years ago. First time up, yeah. I hit a single right.
Mm-hmm.
Second time up, I think I popped it. Third time up, he threw me a fastball, and I hit that 345 out there.
Really? So it wasn't down the line. It was in the...
Oh, no, it was in 345. I mean, it hit the second deck up there. I really belted that radically, man. See, you gotta realize... It was a fastball.
A fastball high?
You gotta realize, it was in here, you know, but I'm when you're young, I mean, that's what you're looking